We're back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Our next topic is the steelhead. It's the state fish for Washington State. It's a fish I truly love. I have fished for them many a year, at least I used to, until recent years, where the numbers have gotten so low that many of the favorite rivers I love to fish, well, they're just not open for steelhead anymore. And it's not just where I live in north central Washington. Steelhead numbers are on the decline through much of the Northwest. With us here to tell you more about this issue and some things that are being done to address it is John McMillan, the science director for the Wild Steelhead Initiative. John, it's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, well, thank you for inviting me, John. I always wish we were meeting with better news, but I sure appreciate it.
Well, let's start off by breaking down the situation in our Pacific Northwest states. And we'll start off in Washington State, where a number of regulations were rolled out this year on some of our Olympic Peninsula rivers, as well as our South Coast rivers, where you can't even fish from a boat anymore. And
right.
Selective regulations. I mean, the numbers have really gone down through Washington State, haven't they?
They have. Our state fish, right? I mean, I was born and raised in Washington, and, I have a long history here. My great-grandfather was born and raised in Oregon City there on the Clackamas. And so, man, a long history here, and it's been a couple trying years, I think, for a lot of folks in Washington. John, it seems like a lot of the populations of both wild and hatchery steelhead that we have in Washington have been really struggling the past 4 to 5 years.
They really have. And you can't just say it's Columbia River steelhead. It's steelhead throughout the state. It's getting to the point. I am really starting to wonder, especially in Washington State, if we're going to lose this battle, if we're going to lose the steelhead as a species we can fish for anymore.
Yeah, I worry about that, too. I mean, and that's the main reason that I've kind of shifted in my life back and forth from being a research scientist at times to then going back to advocate, because I think it's a challenge. On one hand, the science is really important. But on the other hand, my goal as an angler is I want to wake up, one morning when I'm 75 years old and be pretty sure that the next generation of kids are going to be able to fish for steelhead.
Amen.
Because that's the way I grew up, and I feel that connection to nature and outdoors is critical to the culture of the Pacific Northwest.
I agree completely. Let's move to Idaho, which is kind of a mixed bag, because on the one hand, you've got those huge Clearwater steelhead, the B-run steelhead that get up to 20 pounds, and that fishery seems to be doing okay, but you've got other steelhead runs that are heading up the Columbia, then up the Snake and up the Salmon. Those numbers are way down.
Yeah, I think Idaho, Washington and Idaho are kind of in a unique position because, and I'll mention this a little bit, is that, in places like many rivers in Oregon and California, agencies don't have enough staff to actually measure or count the size of the steelhead runs in individual watersheds. So Washington and Idaho are pretty unique in that we actually have pretty good data. And of course, that we have good data in the Columbia, right? Because of the dams. And so, yeah, Washington, the populations have been struggling the past few years, and then Idaho too. And I think even those B runs have not been doing as well as people would hope. It was just, I think, a year or two ago, right, when the run was really small. And perhaps the scary thing for next year is that my friends that study steelhead, my scientific colleagues that are studying steelhead in the Columbia are saying that they're seeing very few one salt fish show up to their southwest Washington streams this past summer, suggesting that next year's return of two salt fish will probably not be very good. So whatever problem we're having in the North Pacific, because I do think this is a bit broader pattern, because even the steelhead populations in the Skeena have been struggling the past few years to having really, really low run sizes, even for them.
Let's talk about the state of Oregon. There seems to be better news there, especially when you look at some of the southern rivers like the Umpqua and the Rogue River and the Chetco. Steelhead populations seem to be pretty healthy. I know they've not been having banner years on, rivers like the Clackamas or the Sandy or the Willamette, but even there, things seem to be better than they are to their, neighboring state in the North Washington and the urban centers.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I have to be careful of is we as anglers tend to be really good at catching fish, so we can kind of catch fish in almost all the years, bad ones or good ones. And Oregon's in a tough spot because, in places in the Columbia, they do measure population size. But when we get out to Tillamook, from that kind of north coast all the way down to the Chetco and Windchook, most of those rivers, the agency has really never measured how many fish exist in any individual population, which makes it really tough. So you might be catching a lot of fish, but we're never sure how many are there. But I do think you raise a good point, John, that once we get down to about the Umpqua River, and the Umpqua has a really long record of data for steelhead, and that population has remained relatively stable since the 1950s. So it's been doing fairly well. And there might be something different because fish in the southern Oregon, northern central California tend to go to a different place in the ocean than our steelhead further north.
I was going to ask about that, and that makes perfect sense. As for the cause of steelhead decline in the Northwest, I mean, you and I both know, and so do most of our listeners, that it's not just one issue. You can't just say it's the Lower Snake River dams. I mean, there's lots of dams that cause problems. There's habitat degradation, especially in urban areas. There's the predation of smolt that are going out to sea. There's the predation of adults that are trying to come back. You've got non-selective fishing methods like gill netting. These all affect steelhead numbers. However, there have been a couple of bright notes in recent years, and one of them is the Oregon Broodstock Program. That seems to be helping some of the rivers down there. Why don't you explain exactly what the state of Oregon is doing and what a broodstock program is?
Sure. So a broodstock program, there's generally what we call two types of hatchery programs for steelhead and salmon. And one is kind of the traditional approach that people use for a long time, like our Chambers Creek or Skamania steelhead programs, where they actually take a population of fish, a small number from some watershed, and then they just rear them in hatcheries, right? But then they plant those in different rivers everywhere. You know, we kind of do a Johnny Appleseed, you know, we'll take like the Skamania fish, for example, are mostly from my home river on the Washougal, right? And then a combination of with some fish from the Klickitat. And so, you know, those get spread out. We call those a segregated hatchery because what we do is we never take in wild fish to breed in that hatchery, right? So the hatchery fish from these segregated programs tend to have, you know, they do really poorly in the wild in terms of spawning, right? Because they've been domesticated in a hatchery for a long time. Doesn't mean they don't provide fish that are important for fisheries. Now, on the Oregon coast, they tend to go a slightly different route, which is using what we call kind of a wild broodstock program or an integrated program. And that's where they actually take wild fish out of the river and then bring some of those into the hatchery to produce offspring. And generally, those fish have higher survival rates from smolt to adult than the traditional kind of, you know, segregated programs that we've used.
One other thing I'd like to mention are the efforts by some of our tribes in the Northwest to bring back steelhead. The Nez Perce tribe in particular did something really interesting a couple of years back where they got kelts. Those are the steelhead that have already spawned. They're heading back. In this case, they trapped them at one of the dams on the Lower Snake River, put them in a hatchery, and then released them in the Snake River, and they expected about a 20% improvement in returns because of this program. Are there some other tribal initiatives going on, too, we should talk about?
Yeah, you know, that's a great call. So, John, I think that program was started with the Yakima Nation. Geez, and it might go back like 15, 16 years at this point. It's that old, you know, where they're trying to recondition post-spawn steelhead, often females, you know, and then let them go after they've kind of given them a whole bunch of food so they can regenerate their fat stores and start to grow eggs. And so I think those are cool programs to experiment with. And my only reminder to folks, though, is that I tend to view management through the lens of a portfolio, right? We have some rivers that are really important, kind of intact places, relatively speaking. Then we have, on the other extreme, some places that are really altered. And so I always go back to the amount of technological fix I think that we need depends on the conditions of the river. And I just always want to remind our anglers that we've relied on technology for a long time, and sometimes it works, but a lot of times it doesn't work, you know? And so I always want to be cautious because I think that we don't have a lot of data on the Oregon coast programs, for example. While we do have a lot of data on these programs for kelt reconditioning that suggest it really is helping those fish. So as a scientist, I'm always going back and forth, you know, trying to figure out what can we do for anglers, but what do we need to do from a scientific perspective to kind of make sure we still have some of our best last wild places. So I think you raise a couple of ideas, and I like these discussions because I think these are the types of discussions that anglers need to have.
We are out of time, but I want to continue this discussion next week, and I want to talk about something that's been rolled out by the Puget Sound Steelhead Advisory Group called the Quicksilver Portfolio that seems to hold a lot of promise, but is already running into some roadblocks. Would you mind coming back next week to continue this little chat?
Well, be wonderful, John. I sure appreciate it.
All right. That's John McMillan, Trout Unlimited's Science Director for the Wild Steelhead Initiative. Be sure to tune in next week, and we'll talk more about steelhead and efforts to save them. Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.